you're starting a church, you're wanting to, hopefully, you're wanting to see people come to know Jesus. And part of, also, as people are discipled, you're wanting part of what they, the fruit of their discipleship to be them being urgently on mission to the people around them, their family, friends. And so that's also for us at SALT. It was clear very early on, there's 300,000 people in the Illawarra, a million people in the wider region from kind of the Shire down to Ulladulla. If we're going to, we're not going to be able to just grow SALT Church to be a great church that can put on events to see all those people converted. It's actually going to be as individual disciples in our church are on mission to their community. So SALT, we want to see people urgently on mission to people around them. And what that looks like, I'm still trying to work through the language of what, but the three blockages to that happening, to someone sharing the gospel with their friends and family, we've found, is that either they aren't convicted of the gospel themselves, so they don't think that it's true. So I don't talk to my friend next door because, really, when it boils down to it, I don't really believe that heaven and hell are realities. Or people aren't confident. They're either not confident in their ability to share the gospel themselves, like they think if someone asked me a question, I wouldn't be able to answer that question, or they're not confident in the gospel to save people because maybe in whatever church context they're from, they've never seen someone converted. That was one big one for us. People were with us and just didn't. Evangelism wasn't happening for them because they thought that people just don't get converted. So I've never seen it happen before. So they're either not convicted by the gospel, they're not confident, or, third one, they're not connected to people who don't know Jesus. So they don't have anyone to share the gospel with. And so as that's kind of the what, that at SALT, we built our mission M around. How can we deal with those three blockages for the person in our church? But, Toby, you want to take through the why?
Well, I won't spend long on the why. Why is kind of obvious, but shouldn't forget to do it every time you do something like this.
Yeah.
So why? Because God is on about saving souls. Our world is under his judgment because of our sin, and yet Christ has come to win us from sin and judgment to his kingdom, and so that's why we're on mission. Our church, this may be getting controversial, but our church doesn't just exist to gather. We also exist to scatter and bring the gospel to others. And so we've been given a mandate, Matthew 28, to go and make disciples. So that's why we must. Jesus commands it. The lost are lost. And it's a privilege to be part of what God's doing in the world. There's one.
Yeah.
So how? And so you're going to talk about how do you create individuals who are convicted? How do you create individuals who are confident? And how do you create individuals who are connected?
Well, I'll talk about how we've done it. When we were a core group, so I also want to keep thinking in the context of church planning. When we were a core group, like with maturity, I wanted to make sure this was something that we did from the very beginning. It wasn't down the track, surprise, we're actually going to do evangelism now. So when we were still meeting in the park three times in 2011, I made a survey for people to walk around the park and talk to people who weren't Christian in the park about Jesus. It was very confronting for people who were starting to think about whether they'd join a church. All of a sudden, they're given a little survey to go and talk to people. But the cost that was, all those people are still with us, the cost that was for them actually helped set the culture of this is what we're about. We're convicted that the gospel is true, and so our church will always be taking the gospel to people who haven't heard it before. And so from the very beginning, that was what we did. When we moved to having a gathering, it affected the way we thought about that gathering. I'm convinced that church on a Sunday, what the sermon is for and what church is for Christians, but we always wanted that to be totally accessible to non-Christians. And so, as Toby said, for them, small groups have been a place where non-Christians have come along. For us, it has definitely been our Sunday gathering has been where we've seen most non-Christians first port of call. And so the things that I wanted to do there affected the way we spoke from the front. Every MC and our song leader, and we work really hard on our language, that we are always helping the person who's coming to church for the very first time. They're always getting a commentary as we go along of what's happening, why it's happening. It affects even down to the fact that we do food a certain way because we want church to not be a weird group, but it to be something that the person off the street can walk into. And so as I'm talking to our volunteers about food, we talk, what does someone who's never been to church eat and drink when they go out somewhere? Do they eat biscuits and coffee from styrofoam cups? No, they don't. So how are we going to do things in such a way that's going to match them where they're at so they can come and hear the gospel? So it affected all of that kind of stuff. And the other thing it affected was the way we talk about the things we celebrate. I would always be dropping stories of opportunities I was having to share the gospel. I'm not a great evangelist. I'm not the guy who just walks into the sandwich store and converts the person over the counter. I've met those guys. They're freaks. I'm not that person. But I love having a go, and so it actually is really helpful. Most people in our church aren't that person either. They want to have a go. Them hearing stories of me talking to my neighbour, me stuffing up, me failing at evangelism when I could have done, that's all really helpful stuff to be in the air to help them feel more confident. They're seeing that the people around them are sharing the gospel. I could do that too. I can have a conversation. That's an easy conversation to have, that one that I just found out. And then connected, we do that in our Sunday gathering. At first was our big event, so we made sure lots of people in the community heard about that event. And I worked with the group we had, who were going to start that public launch, to think through for themselves who were the three people that they wanted to come to church when we started. And so helping them think through their connection. Over the last 18 months, I think we've grown miraculously. God keeps bringing people along who don't know Jesus. But I imagine that soon we'll get to the end of that low-hanging fruit that if you just give the tree a little shake. And so I can see that coming in the future. And so one of the things we're putting in place now is a girl who's with us. She's going to be the champion of connection, thinking through ways that people in our church can be connected with more people in the community. And so she's working through ideas like, when council put on events, how can we put volunteers from our church in those events? How can we talk to Anglicare about soup kitchens where our people can be serving with other people in the community, stuff like that. So that's one idea, way that we're working through that now, those three things. Another thing we do is a course called Coffee and Jesus that Jordan and I run, and we've been kind of analysing because we just finished it last night. That's been going all for the last 2 years. It works at helping your average person in your church can't sit down with their neighbour and share the gospel. They just have never done it before. They're struggling. That's a big ask for them. But you can put in place helps to help them get there. Coming along to a thing like Christianity Explored, or how about you come to Coffee and Jesus with me? That's an easier ask. So we wanted to set up a thing that complemented the individuals in our church doing mission by making it easy for them to come, but actually the way we run the event is to enhance their relationship with their non-Christian friend so they can go away and keep talking about stuff. That's a little bit... Toby's probably got lots he can talk about that they've done with the how.
So, what we're talking about, again, is 5M is a management tool. So, I don't want to get too bogged down on, every detail of the what. But what we want to help you think through is, what does it look like to be intentional in pursuing each of these 5Ms in your church life? And the reality is that most churches tend to be really good at one or two. So, Anglicans, we love maturity, and that's our big thing. But when it comes for a infectious affection for Jesus Christ, which is expressed in praise on Sundays, sometimes that's not our strength. And whereas I actually think, no, we need to be doing all these well. So even though I come from a tradition and where I strongly believe in maturity, I don't want to ignore these other areas. Each church has a particular bias to allocating resources in a particular area. and each individual has a particular bias based on their own gifts and passions. And you've kind of got to break through that, especially if you're the church planter, and work out, no, we're going to nail all of these things. So when it comes to mission, one of the things you got to be doing is, if you're the church planner, you're kind of having this internal battle. You put the mission hat on, and like Daniel's saying, you review the Sunday service and you start thinking about what elements of the service aren't helpful for non-Christians to be there. As you grow as a church, and maybe you get a lay guy in mission, you can foresee this area being headed up by a lay guy, couldn't you?
Yeah, it was. Last year.
Yeah. So even a lay guy, they don't have to be on staff, but they would take responsibility for taking the what and making it happen. And so they will apply all of Dan's thinking on the Sunday service there, and they'll be probing on the Sunday service, whoever's looking after Sunday services, and they'll say, hey, you're not aware enough of the non-Christians in there. And so that would be his role as well. His role will be also in starting these connections and finding the, what's her name? The girl who's going to start doing this. Keras. So that person will be going to Keras and say, where are we at with connections and those kind of things? When you're a church planner, these just fall to you naturally, and you're trying to be intentional in each particular area. And you put on the mission hat for a day, and you start addressing, okay, where is our church at in mission? And you do a SWOT analysis of it, and you work it out. Our hows are much the same. Sunday services, it's evangelistic worship, so it's for Christians in meeting Jesus and being taught the gospel, but so that outsiders can come in, creating connections and using Christianity Explorer as a means by which people come to know Jesus.
Can I add to what you've just said? Because it's really helpful. But when you start, how do you do, like you've said, do you just think, I've got 5 days in a week and so I'm just going to be each of those M's? This is something, I think, this is just the way I think, and it might not be the case for you, but when you start, you are all of these. So you're thinking, you set from, this is the Bible, God does this, that's an open Bible. He sets the why, but you communicate the why. You communicate the what, the how does the why connect with what you actually, the how you're going to do it on the ground.
That's a...
So you communicate this. This is the link. The what is the link between the why and the how.
Yeah.
Really, why should go at the top. But anyway. But then as you to grow someone into an area, what I've tried to do is I start someone here. So I'll go, we're doing, so when we first started, we ran a stall in Australia Day. So I got Pete, who was a lay guy, he was doing MTS last year, but he ran Australia Day, and that was just how. He just had a how job. And over time, after I gave him a couple of hows, I met with him, and together we did what. So I was always doing why, and then he and I were doing what, and then he was just doing how. And then eventually I stepped out of what until Pete was owning what. He knew, he was crystal clear on these three, and he was crystal clear on how it was going to happen. And he'd started to develop his own guys in the how, and I always owned the why. So that when you've got the 5 M's, that's just a really helpful way of growing your lay leaders into being M leaders. The same happened with membership and magnification. So from the beginning, when we first started, I made sure I had a how. But the Australia Day thing was really an invention to get Pete doing something mission on the ground. We had a girl who I got to lead singing at our first house group meeting, but she's now our magnification leader. So it's kind of like a starting people, giving people some how jobs to move them towards what. You do that together, then you step out of the what, and they just do the what and the how. Yeah. And you always manage the why.
The other thing, as an M pastor, is managing is the pathway from non-Christian to seeker to converted to growing to serving. And in mission, you're managing this pathway here for a particular individual. And there are a bunch of people in your church who aren't Christians, and you've got to move them to slightly interested and move them into converted. And as soon as you do that, you push them out into either memberships or maturity's responsibility. That's the other thing. Dan's given us lots of the hows, but in particular, I think what's important to talk about really is this as a management tool of using resources and pushing people through a pathway and helping you be intentional about what you're doing on the ground with your time and people's time so that you're accomplishing the goals of your church. So are there any questions there? Yeah.
I love this kind of stuff, and I want to learn more. What I'm realising, I'm taking on two of the ends in my work, I'm realising that it's ridiculously front-end heavy to do the what for all these people and to have people that you're training at the how and then have them eventually stepping up to the what, and you just end up, how do you balance the short-term need to have it happening now with the long-term need for there to be an appropriate process that you know the end game is? How do you balance all that?
Can I just clarify? I don't think it was helpful saying people are in the what, because the what is, I'm never going to give up much of the what's. This is just a way to help you think about the area. You kind of have strategy and vision, and you may get someone to run Australia Day, and that's like a, what was his name?
Pete.
That was a Pete. And then you really raise, and he's responsible there for a task, and then you raise him up, and you don't give him responsibility for the task, you give him responsibility for the outcome. So I think that's the better way to think about it, rather than to
be
playing in here.
Yeah, yeah.
So but same language.
So you still got to train him up to the point that he's confident to know what outcomes you want him to reach and be able to reach it.
I want him to actually be... those three up there, they really are the... You could put them under what or outcomes or... He's thinking clearly... He's at the point where he's going, I want people to be connected with more non-Christians.
Yep.
Now I need a tactic to meet
that. I need a how to reach that.
Yeah, and he's at that point rather than me saying, here's your how.
Yep.
Or even me saying, here's the what, tell me the how. I want him to go... Him to own responsibility.
How long has it taken you from that Australia Day to now him being in charge of those things? And time's up by five because you've got five areas.
Yeah. He's not in charge of mission anymore, but it took about 3 months. So I had a few M's and they were all at that point. But, yeah.
I haven't been able to raise up a lay person for any of our M's. We've employed based on one. I think part of the problem was I haven't come from a church that's run the M, so I'm learning how to manage it. But secondly, I just don't think we've actually had the guys with the capacity and the ability to do it at the moment. And so we've had a guy in membership who I started by giving him a task, which is look over welcoming on a Sunday, and slowly trying to lift him up to start thinking about not just the task on a Sunday, but think about how are people integrated into our church. So that's not a task, that's a really big picture thing, but he's still getting bogged down and not achieving some of the tasks that we're setting, and so I'm reluctant to lift him up there. We had a guy in magnification, great guy, and just had some personal issues facing him. I wanted to lift him up into that overall area, and he couldn't. Mission, we just haven't had anyone. I mean, my sister's with us now, actually, and she was the missions pastor for Church by the Bridge, and she's come over, but we're so desperate for community group leaders, she's become one of them, and so I'm reluctant to ask her to come over to mission and spend her time there. So I'm still working there. So I found it really hard. I don't know whether it's a product of my lack of ability in raising up leaders, or it's just none of our people have seen it happen, whereas Dan's guys have seen it happen, and Dan's made it happen in another context. So I think that maybe.
I think I think you need. There is a. I'm not saying Toby hasn't done this, but there is a sense in which you've got to take risks to get the guys to own the. And I've the last. I think now our leaders in those M's have been in that place for 18 months. They're now, like, I'm thinking about the person in charge of magnification. She's now got her head big, wide, and it's taken 18 months where I've sat next to her going, keep seeing the what, keep seeing the what, stop thinking about how, keep seeing the what, and work some. It's very.
And so your job is to balance out with five different people. Yeah.
And the dream is you slowly just move it to the point where I'm just managing them. But that takes time.
Any other questions?
Just that I am. Big picture ends in small church, people coming from every different direction and background. How much of this stuff do you like up front about how the church functions when someone comes to you? Do you like, would the average pew sitter who's just a member of a community group know that this is how the church is organised? Or would they just see church happening and suddenly once they pick around the back?
Mainly just the leadership team know that this is how church is structured.
Yeah.
Your core team, they kind of got to know it because they're kind of buying into not just an experience for themselves, but something they're building. And I think it's helpful to share it with them. But so on our newcomers night, I used to go through, this is what our church is trying to create, mature disciples who are mature, who are on mission, who are serving with their gifts, who are connected to others and who are loving Jesus with their heart, soul, and mind. And so I'd use these areas. I never called them M areas in discussing it with them. I just translated it. And so it's kind of the bonnet's closed and you just see this nice car. But then as people step into ministry, they begin to see the nuts and bolts of it. Yeah.
Does that help? Is that what you do?
Yeah, very similar. And newish, our newcomers night, I do exactly the same spiel. We want to see disciples. What does a disciple look like? These five things. And our membership guys there at newish, so I can say. So, for instance, Andy champions that. But that's really the last people on the ground. We don't talk about it regularly. But our leadership team are listening. It's not till, like Andrew said, a couple of years ago when they have to start raising money that then people want to know what the staff are there for, but neither of us have massive staff teams that we have to justify.
Any other questions? I might ask you a question then. Why use 5Ms and why not essentially just have a guy who runs Coffee and Jesus, right? Your evangelistic course. And for maturity, why not just have, instead of maturity, have a department called
small groups?
Why not structure church based on tasks rather than these 5Ms? It'd be a lot neater. Because are small groups really maturity? Aren't they membership? Aren't there a way of people actually experiencing love and care of others? And so you're just confusing. You know, it's complicated using 5Ms. Why wouldn't you just structure it based on systems, small group system, Christianity Explored system, and have them as your department heads rather than having these as your department heads?
Oh, it's not scalable. Like, it can only scale within that one parameter. So is that the only way you can do magnification, say? Is that the only way you can do maturity is through small groups? So what about the...
So what's the obstacle that you foresee there then, Leon?
If you're convicted that these five purposes are important and the purpose is bigger than the task, then there might be a time where that particular task of small groups may not be achieving the purpose that you want, at which point you jettison that, you change it, you bring something else in.
Because what matters is the purpose, not the task.
Yeah, yeah. So it goes back to that outputs versus inputs.
Yeah, yeah.
So you, small groups is an input, an output, and
yeah.
you just end up managing inputs again rather than
focusing
on one or two.
Yeah, you're inspiring leadership and creativity in a particular area, and some things may become redundant, like Australia Day. I assume you didn't do that again this year.
Well, no, we did.
Oh, you did.
But it hit different goals, and yeah. now it's becoming part of Connected because it makes it's a good way of connecting.
But we might shoot it one day.
Yeah. yeah.
Maybe next year.
anything else before we wrap up?
I was thinking with missions you talked about in the sense of evangelism, like local evangelism or local mission. I mean, mission is more than that, like a lot of missions back then.
Yeah.
So how do you actually do that? Does it just come into that banner?
Yeah, so we would put a global mission in how and maybe why is global missions, why are we doing global mission? Well, because told us to make disciples of all nations. Does that achieve our what? Yeah, because people need a conviction that it's not just Surry Hills that needs saving, but the world. And so how are we going to make a difference, not just in Surry Hills, but around the world? And I'm just seeing off the top of my head, training people, because Surry Hills is a transient place and we get the nations coming to Surry Hills and live there for 2 years, we want to send them out equipped and able to make disciples when they go home. So that would be a mission objective there. But also having someone responsible for connecting with overseas missionaries, feeding the news from them back to the church, and raising money for them while they're overseas. So that would, overseas would come in here as well.
Yeah.
So you'd have local and overseas.
And I'm just wondering if the things would come in like a membership or the care of those missions overseas, or would that come under mission?
I can see overseas mission coming under maturity. It could come under mission. It could come under... But eventually someone's got to champion it. And then, this is our failing. We've got an overseas missionary in Auckland who we don't... Last year, the mission guy saw that as part of his strategy for growing mission in our church, and so gave it lots of energy in connecting with them. And he's no longer the mission person. I'm sitting there in mission temporarily, and we've really dropped off. And so you need... Someone needs to take responsibility. You can cast global missions in lots of those ways. Because this is a discipleship management structure, you got to think, in what area of discipleship does global mission fit?
Is that helpful?
Yeah.
I'm not sure that addresses it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit like...
This is very local church.
Yeah, it's a little bit like, it's a bit different, but it's a little bit like admin. Church needs to do admin. We're called to, by the word, to take the gospel to all nations. It's not on the same par as, global mission isn't on the same par as admin, but it's something that needs to happen that doesn't quite fit in the matrix. So you need to work out a way where it does fit.
No, I think it clearly fits in mission, and it must be someone has to have responsibility in your church.
But this becomes the identification, and then the other areas tap into it.
Yeah,
that could be.
Yeah. I suppose the question would be: through that mission, one of the missions was to say, we will intentionally send
people from this congregation to plant.
Then it's mission.
And so then it's mission, but then there's also kind of the member care.
Are thinking outside.
So it'd be interesting to think about, say, what's the care that, so say for you, if seeded out from EV Central Coast, what's their relationship to you as an individual?
Yeah.
So how do they look after you to make sure that you're, now you make it on fine.
Yeah, yeah. And I think their structure, they have it as one of, it sits under mission, but really that person just raises money for missionaries. So it's not, I haven't seen it work where church has taken responsibility and care for it.
Is the local church worldwide?
But it's got a scale. Like, it's in the same way that your small groups has got a scale. You've got a scale that would say, well, if we've got small groups that are intentionally planning, then we're going to be a church that's going to intentionally planning as well.
That's right.
Yeah, so you have a whole church planting ring under that as well. But the issue is, unless someone's responsible for it, it won't happen. I think that's what you're doing through this. You can't be responsible to make everything happen. And so you need to raise up leaders to delegate roles that need to happen.
Well, and overseas mission is. The whole thing's doing, isn't it? It's ensuring that one person, three people aren't responsible for the whole thing, but actually be responsible is spread across the whole congregation, or as many of the congregations as possible.
Yeah, and you've got to. And when you start a church, it is you responsible, but you've got a plan, you've got a track that you can see how delegation is going to work.